This is Fresh Air. I'm David Bean Cooley, TV critic for the New York Daily News, sitting in for Terry Gross. Next week in New York, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame will induct its honorees for 2007. They'll include the hip-hop group Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five and Ronnie Spector of the Ronettes. Today on Fresh Air, we'll visit with Grandmaster Flash and one of the Furious Five, Melly Mel, and with Ronnie Spector. Let's start with Melly Mel and a song called The Message. Many people consider The Message among the best rap records ever made, and it's generally acknowledged as the first that offered social commentary. Before that, most rap records were party boasts. The Message was released by Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five. Melly Mel did the rap.
It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Glass everywhere, people pissing on the stage, you know they just don't care. I can't take the smell, can't take the noise, got no money to move out, I guess I got no choice. Rats in the front room, roaches in the back, junkies in the alley with the baseball bat. I tried to get away, but I couldn't get far, cause a man with a tow truck repossessed my car. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Standing on the front stoop, hanging out the window, watching all the cars go by.
Melly Mel didn't write The Message. The lyric was written by Duke Booty and brought to Melly Mel by his record company, Sugar Hill. Terry Gross talked to Melly Mel about The Message in 1992.
Our group, like Flash and the Furious Five, we didn't actually want to do The Message because we was used to doing party raps, you know, and like boasting about how good we are and all that. And when the record company brought the record to us to do, we didn't actually want to do it. And I was the only one that, like, I just caved in. I said, listen, if this is the record we're going to do, then I'll just do it and it's no big thing. But I didn't think that it would be pivotal either way, you know, like on a good or bad end. I just thought it was going to be just another record that we had did.
So did you ever try The Message at parties before you went into the recording studio, or would that have been all wrong?
No, we never tried it. And as a matter of fact, I was shocked because we used to hang out in a club called Disco Fever up in the Bronx, right? And then they took the record, you know, they was testing it, like they tested it down on a record shop on 125th Street. You know, just putting it, you know, just letting it play and people outside, you know, listening to it. And then they tested it in the club where we hung out at, and the people really liked it. And that was coming right behind Planet Rock, which was a big, big record back then. And when they played The Message in the club and the people liked it, I was kind of shocked because I didn't think that, you know, coming from Planet Rock to, you know, a serious record like The Message, I didn't think that. I thought it would be like a lapse in you know, the level of the crowd, the intensity of the crowd. But it wasn't, so, yeah. Right then, I knew that the record was going to be more than what I thought it was going to be.
Can I ask you how you started rapping?
Well, we started going to parties. They used to be like little, like maybe $1 parties, $2 parties, and they had a DJ called Kool Herc. It was all DJs, but they rapped. They didn't actually rap in rhythm, but they used to say little phrases, you know, Coke LaRock, Timmy Tim, and Clark Kent. That was the guys' names. And they was the big DJs. They was like the big DJs back then. And we used to go to their parties. And I just started rapping, just trying to emulate them, you know, to be like them, because they was like more or less our heroes back then.
What were some of the kinds of rhymes they were using?
They wouldn't use rhymes. It's like, if you could imagine, it would be like a dark room or a gym. And it's like smoky, because everybody was smoking everything from cigarettes to whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd be playing the music, and then it'll all be echo chamber. So they'd be like, rock, 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 free, free, free. You know, it was like more or less like kind of a psychedelic kind of thing, because everything they said, it was echoes, you know. And this is why they call me the Shoe Machine Shock, y'all. You know, it was like all this echoing. And you walk in there, you'd be like dumbfounded, because it's like you just stepped into another world, you know what I mean? And there's all these dark figures around and smoke and You know, it was like awesome. You know, for us, it was like a rush, you know, just stepping into these parties.
So what were the early rhymes you were doing?
We was doing like, you know, I'm Melly Mel and I rock so well from the top of the world to the depths of hell. This is my first rhyme. I rock with the best, with the most finesse. I'm taking the top and leaving what's left, like real simple stuff, you know, just boasting rhymes, you know, nothing real heavy or nothing like that, or nothing real technical because there was no technique. We was just going by our own thing.
How did you come up with your name, Melly Mel?
Flash gave me that name because that was my name was just Melvin, so I don't think that would be like a cool name, like right. You know, MC Melvin. So Flash, you know, he started calling me Melly Mel and stuff.
It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Yo, Mel, you see that girl, man?
Yeah, man.
Yo, that sound like Cowboy, man.
Our interview with Melly Mel was recorded in 1992.